Thank you for your love. We thank you for your word that you reveal things to us we'd never otherwise know. And Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We are forgiven in you, empowered by you, and protected by you. So, Lord, I just pray you just open everyone's mind to see from your word. I pray you just anoint me with the Holy Spirit. And I just speak things of the Spirit that are honoring to you. And so we ask that of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says this: be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I've had all sorts of like this. I know this is what I'm supposed to preach on, I'm laughing at myself. I'm sorry. This is not a funny topic. But it's like 2 weeks ago we talked about, you know, that the passions of the flesh wage war against the soul. And then we talked about, you know, God will bring us through fiery trials to test us. And then this morning, the devil, our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. You know, I'm just all into, you know, joyful messages, so everybody will be encouraged. Now, really, the thing of it is that it's all in Peter. I mean, he clicked it off just like this. And so I'm just kind of following note. I don't have any particular agenda. You know, this is how Peter listed this. And I think what's good about it, it helps us understand, you know, when things happen and things go wrong and we don't understand from the Christian world. And this helps us get a view of the things that happen in the world and how we can understand them. And again, I'll repeat the message 2 weeks ago. It says, it says not get caught up in passions of the flesh. But then it says be occupied with the Spirit and you won't gratify those passions. So he's telling us, this happens to all of us. I don't even need a hand raise, okay? It happens. So we understand what's happening and the solution. And then we go through fiery trials. And it's like, and he makes a point there. It's like something strange. And that goes on. And this is according to God's will, that he's using fiery trials to teach us, to use us, to refine us, you know? So that helps us to understand what's happening. We're not doing anything wrong. Okay? And then God's involved in that. So too. Now this is a little different. This is a little different. Because you're working with all that. I mean, how many of you think, okay, just working with the first two, you know, that keep me busy. Well, to add on to it, it says, by the way, the devil is prowling around seeking Christians to destroy. So we'll throw that in there. Okay? Now, The rest of them, you know, okay, you work internally as you walk with the Lord and focus upon him and you grow in trials. But what you got here is you got the devil. He's an entity. He's a bad character. He's a person. And the Bible says he just absolutely hates us as Christians, all right? But it's not just us. So he's moving in the whole world. The devil prowls, and it says our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. When you have in Job, where it says Satan actually went before God, okay, went before God, and God asked him, where have you been? And he goes, I've been roaming the whole earth. Or he goes, I've been prowling the whole earth. See, and there's no rebuke there because that's what he's been doing. You know, it's like when he tempted Jesus. He said, if you'll worship me, I'll give you all things. Jesus didn't go, you can't do that, stop it. Jesus goes, no, I'm not going to worship you. Meaning he could have gave him all things. So again, we have an entity here that is not, doesn't like us, and he's in the world and he's causing problems. So with other things we're working on internally, okay, we got this guy from the outside that's causing havoc in our life, causing havoc in our life. And it's a very clear entity. Now, so we need to know, as we're walking with Jesus, and we're enjoying Jesus, and we're worshiping Jesus. You know, we're teaching our kids about Jesus and the family, and we worship Jesus. You come group of church, and we're worshiping Jesus, and we're happy to get together, you know, and just so excited. We walk into this crazy world. We know we have God. And then you have Satan show up. Satan show up. And the Bible calls him, according to the scripture, calls him, that says that the devil has great power on earth, being the prince of the world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's like, okay, this is a whole different dynamic that explains what's happening around us. The other two we talked, the last two, what's happening inside of us. This one is what's happening around us, whether we like it or not. And the other thing about it, kind of the better you're behaving, the more Satan is irritated at you. He didn't have to worry with the disobedient. I mean, they're going and just proving him right, you know. But the rest of them, a real, real irritation to Satan, and we see that. Now, So it's good for us to look at this. And so when things are going real good, it's important not to drop our guard, to be aware where we are, to be aware that he can strike any time. And so we need to be very alert, because Satan is prowling around, seeking someone to devour. I mean, you can't get much more clear than that. Seeking someone to devour. I mean, he wants to do damage. He wants to do damage believers. And if we're not on our toes, he can succeed. He can't come up and touch us, but he can deceive us. You know, he can deceive us. And that's the reason we need to be very, very alert. He attacks suddenly, viciously, and often when we are engaged in some other routine activity. Yeah, we're just sailing along. And so there's a verse in where Jesus, where Satan tempted Jesus. And in one of the Gospels it says, and he left him, after Jesus rebuked him, said he left him until an opportune time. See, he watching. You know, well, I want to beat the devil. Okay, keep your guard up, because he's just looking for another opportune time. So here it is. This is a very real fact. Okay, I started to say this is a very real fact about Christianity. No, this is a very real fact, and God's telling us about it. See, the whole world's under this. So God's just telling us. This is what's happening. You need to know what's happening. And so I'm telling you about this. And so the devil is engaged in open rebellion against God. And he is also the leadership of a massive amount of demons. If any of you read the Screwtape letters, and you know, it's a fiction, but what's interesting about that, and I think it really strikes home, in the Screwtape letters, there's a hierarchy. Okay, so these lesser demons are reporting to the big guy. You know, and he's giving them directions, you know. And so there's an organization, you know. I even believe, now this is my commentary, I believe that there's demonic influences specifically for every country. I think every country you walk into the time, and they you know, we're all under sin, but they kind of got their special sin. You know, they're kind of a block where there's, you know, things going on there that's not going in the other countries. And I think you can feel it. I think you can feel it. I was at Reston Bible Church a long time ago, and this guy came in, and he and his wife sang. And he said, can we stop in and sing? And so I'm the only person in the church, you know. And I'm thinking, well, all right. Well, as soon as you say, all right, you're the only person in the church, you said it, you got to take care of it. You know, so this guy comes in, and so I'm sitting out thing, and it's like, you know, it's like, what? I just should have said, no, we don't have anybody here. We can't set thing up. But I didn't. I said, go. So we just had like 10 people come or something. I got somebody to run the soundboard. And this couple was really, really nice and stuff, and they, you know, latter years of their life. They were older. So everybody goes home. So it's me And this old man and his wife were loading up all this equipment in his cars. You know, anyway, so I was, in my heart, I really wanted to come. I just didn't want to do everything. But anyway, so I'm loading everything in the car. And the guy says, he said, I pray for you. I said, yeah, sure. He said, I know you have enough. And this is just what he said. He said, I know you have a tough ministry here. Because just as I drove in, we're in Reston. He said, when I drove into the town, I could feel a heavy black darkness over this whole area. And I know this is an extremely difficult place to minister. You're an irritation to the evil one. Can I pray with you? I'm like, oh, yes, Lord, pray. It's like, you know. But see, but the point is, when he came in from where he was coming and he came into Reston, he said, this was darker than where I came from. This was darker where I came from. And that these spirits are territorial. There's an organization. Satan has an organization. Satan works evil at his end. And there's different verses you can look at that show that. Now, I want to... So we need to be aware of that. Again, it's happening. You know, it's not, okay, I'm telling you now it happens. No, it's happening. And you tell someone, and then we're aware of what's going on. You can be aware, and you may have experienced it. Have you ever walked into a building or something? You walk in and you go, I shouldn't be here. Well, there's something dark in there. There's something dark. And you see that, and it's real. It's very, very real. And so Satan, and so Christians, you know, have a sensitivity, and they kind of understand what's going on. And there's certain attributes, certain attributes that, and most of the time, I mean, if it's, you can't see Satan or demons, okay, they're spirits, but you can sense their spirits working. But also, their biggest way of impacting us is influencing other people to say or do things to us. Now, I'm not saying these people are necessarily demon-possessed. I think there are demon-possessed people, but I'm not saying necessarily these other people are demon-possessed, but they're non-believers or real disobedient believers, I don't know, that they allow Satan to influence them. You ever been mad at somebody? Gosh, before the Lord, I shouldn't be mad. And something in you said, if I get them alone, I'm going to beat the fire out of them. Was it? Those comments can come like from Satan. Now, I'm sure you as believers never had a vile thought like that. It's like, you know, but see, that's what? That's an influence where it's a spiritual influence that's real. It's a spiritual influence. My point is, there is a spiritual influence that's real that influences other people. There is also the person of the devil, like when he tempted Christ, Christ knew it. He was that person. He didn't use anybody else. Satan himself communicated with Christ, and Christ communicated back to him. Now, and so what I want to do is, and I'd actually done this a long time ago, I'd forgot, but I want to kind of give you some notes, since this is a real thing about Satan, kind of some notes about how we can discern whether something may be demonic, okay? How we can discern something may be demonic, because Satan has a way of doing things. He has a way of doing things. And the Bible calls him a liar and the father of lies. Okay, that kind of covers it. You know, so he's a liar and the father of lies. So you can't believe anything he says, but he's good at his lying. And so we see that throughout the world. And so I want to give you a couple of things where I personally experienced. There's four or five times where, and looking back on it, and coming back here, have a more clear mind. Now, I know at that time it was a demonic influence, and I know that Satan was using people or present to do me harm. There's a few things, and I've shared something with you before, but this is what I'll use this title and bring it personal. No one in here knows this person, so I'm safe. Nobody knows this, so I'm not going to call him out. But early on, when we started the church, he was an elder. You know, and just, you know, we had nice time, elder dinners and stuff like that. Well, he told me he wanted to have a meeting, just adamant about it. Whatever. I mean, there's just like four or five of us like that. So we met and got together. And so we talked, we prayed. And he pulled out his Bible And he, and I can't remember who it was, but it's in Jeremiah. It was in the book of Jeremiah. And he says, God gave me this verse for you, you know. And the verse was like, yeah, I'm going to destroy your wife and your home and your children. And I'm going to destroy this and I'm destroying this. And he, that's the verse the elder got for me. And I'm thinking, that sounds good, you know. And so, well, and everything is just a normal conversation. Just a normal conversation. And I said, did you just put a curse on me? He said, yes, I did. I said, well, I mean, this album. I said, well, why are you doing this? And he said, God didn't call you to this, and he called me to tell you you're not to. And you're lying. And you know, I kind of, well, love you, but I don't receive that. I don't. But I was stunned by It makes me, in the Old Testament, talks about when Jesus was betrayed, and he said, if it was my enemy, I could have stood it, but it was my good friend in whom I had fellowship. And that's the way I felt. I thought, and so you can't, it would kind of, so that just kind of disrupted, you know, the whole thing. And so we kind of worked our way out of that. And anyway, so that was when I looked back on it, and you go, no, that was demonic. That wasn't just being mean. That was demonic. That was actually demonic. And here's another one, and this is a good one to know. You can look at this in all sorts of authority. When you're in authority, and you pull yourself out and declare yourself an authority, there's a definition for that. It's rebellion. Okay? If somebody's done that, take it out. It's rebellion. Don't. And Satan is the father of rebellion. You know, he comes in. So there's another thing way back. And one of the elders, this is after this one left, so we got a few left. Elder called. And he called me up and says, we're having an elder meeting, and we want you to come. And I said, no, we're not, and I'm not coming. You know, I said, well, there's nobody going to call elder meeting here but me. What are you doing? No, this is, and so, anyway, I think this is where I wasn't totally holy and listened to the devil as I reported to him what I actually thought of the whole situation. But anyway, I kind of got my bearings and gone, yeah, listen, not happening. I mean, every day you're interacting and talking, and there's what in the world's going up. When they brought up what was going on, it was really bizarre, you know. And then I will tell you something else. And when I went to the core of what was going on, it came from their wives. So, anyway, hey, Rich, you want this? Hey, brother, take hold of your family. Rich and I have that joke going on the whole time. He can't tell, and Annette does just what she wants to, but he pretends. He pretends. Okay. But anyway, but it was like, and so anyway, yeah, so that caused some problems, you know? And so we had to work through that. But what I'm saying, and when I look back on it and what happened, and it was an influence of evil. It was an influence of evil and for no reason. And the Bible tells you about that. And until you understand that, anytime somebody pulls himself out and declares themselves, that's always demonic. I mean, 100% demonic. If anybody comes up to you, hey, we don't call an elder meeting, won't you join us? And we'll call Wallace. You go, uh-uh, that's demonic. Plus, he's really going to get upset when you do that. Yeah. Pulls up my worst self in it, that I have to confess. You're not terrible with something like that, and then you have to confess. But what I want, so what I'm saying, those are things. And there have been other times where, and I look back on there, and I'm fully convinced, Linda, that was had an evil influence, a destructive, demonic influence. It wasn't just being mean or something. It had a demonic influence. It just, and why it's good to know that, then you know what you're dealing with. You know what's okay. We're going to have to call on Jesus. This is not a counseling situation. This is a demonic influence of a situation. And there's been other times there's one person that just went off the tracks. new person here. And just, anyway, I won't get into all the things that happened. But I confronted her. It was actually here one night. And I actually confronted her. And she said, listen, well, they called me. People called me. I came up and I talked to her. And just saying bizarre stuff. And so I came up to her and I called her by name. I said, listen, what are you doing this stuff? And she looked at me. It was a she. And her face like contorted. I mean, I knew what she looked like. But her face contorted. And just like it didn't even look like her face. And just talked. You know, just an evil. And I just, hey, listen, name of Jesus, stop it. We're ending this right here. Stop it. You know, and then we took her home. But you look back, what is that? I mean, what in the world is that? So there's been several things. There's one other thing that happened one time, and this is a kid I knew way back in Reston Bible Church, and a friend of mine says, call me. He says, I'm having a problem with this person. He's 20, I guess, something like that. And you come over here. And I said, yeah, I'd come over here. He said, I can't stay here, but I'm afraid he hurt himself. I said, well, okay, I'll drive over. And I stood there. So the guy leaves me with his kid. And then all of a sudden, he started running around the living room. He's jumping from chair to chair, and he's jumping on the couch. Big kid, you know. I thought, yeah, I've seen my 40-year-olds do that. So, but then all of a sudden, he hollered real loud. And now I know this kid. This is not he wasn't a godly kid, but he did attend, and so. And he hollered at me, and he ran full blast at me. And I stood there, and I really did. I stood there, and I thought, okay, God, you say Satan can't touch me. And he ran, and he stopped, and it was like his nose was touching my nose. Just stopped, and just yelling, and I just stood there, you know. And by the way, I just said, the kid's a big kid. I mean, it's like I'd lose the fight, you know. And I said, and I just called his name. I said, you go over there and sit down. And he went over there and just sat down, he said. And then I said, won't you go rest? And I said, tell me what's going on. Oh, he said, you can't tell me what to do. And I said, why? He said, because I am Jesus. Okay, now that's a clue right there. When somebody says they're Jesus, they kind of stepped over the edge. I'm just telling you. They've stepped over the edge. And then I'm going to shared some profanities that was, you know, and you're going, holy cow. So I called up the pastor at Rest of the Bible Church. I mean, I'm here, you know, I'm saying, hey. And I said, I really need some help. Need you come over here. And the kid got up and ran. He goes, I am not possessed by the devil. This is loud. And so I'm holding the phone. And the guy on the phone says, you think he is? I go, yes. So he came over. And then so enough of that. But anyway, this one story leads into another story. I'll tell you, you just got to know, okay? You find out things like, so we took him to a psych ward. Now, this is a long time in Fairfax. If you ever take someone in psych ward, let me tell you something. When you put them in, you can't get them out. Did you know that? You put him in. You say, okay, now what the hell? You know, I tell you, no. We'll release him. So anyway, so we had to explain to his mom and dad, we just put your son in the psych ward and they won't let him out. Anyway. But we took him in, and I just, because people don't realize what. So we took him in. Now, his mother and father had separated. They were very involved in the church, very, very involved in the church. And say 5-6 years ago, she ran off with this guy. And left the church and left the two kids with the father. So she ran. Well, because he was in this, she came back. So she was living with this guy. they were really involved. And so they put him in the psych ward. I mean, like the ambulance, and just took him off, and they put him. So we went there to, you know, talk and see how he was doing. And so I walk in after explaining, of course, the mother and father hadn't seen each other in 5 or 6 years. And I explained what I did, and, you know, didn't know what to do. Okay. And then there was someone else there, two other guys. I mean, so we walked in through the psych ward at Fairfax Hospital. Now, I don't know if y'all know that. I mean, I didn't know. In the psych ward, and these people are there because there's mental situations in the psych, well, they're all loose. It's just a big room. They're just walking around. I mean, everybody's just walking around, you know? And they're not, I mean, God bless them, they're going through something, but you're like, this is really uncomfortable, you know, and come up and talk to you and say the most bizarre things you ever heard of, you know, and it was just, and I mean, they weren't hurting anybody, but they're just walking around and just babbling and saying stuff. And there was a woman, and a nice looking woman, she was a tall woman, and she stood over there, and she's dressed nicely, and she stood, and she just watched like this, watch. Everybody in the place just stood there, real stoic, and all these other people just mulling around and just like that. And we walked in and had this woman, you know, left her husband. And so we walked in, and she just looked around, and she looked over at us. She turned around and she walked over, and she walked over to this woman who left her husband. And I'm just going to tell you just this. She goes, "You whore, who let you in here?" Now, I mean, I don't know if this was the guardian or the rest of the people in there. But it was like, and then she walked back over there to her spot. And she took up her stance, looking around. I just want to tell you, it's real. It's real. And you can, and we need to know it's real, and we need to be, we don't have to be afraid, but we need to be aware. We need to be aware. Now, I'm going to share some things that, and this is from the Scripture, some things that that the Scripture says about characteristics of the demonic people in the New Testament, okay? And this is just kind of a list of certain characteristics that can influence that this person has a demonic influence. Now, if someone's possessed, you know, we think, oh, they're just flying off. No, people that are possessed are pretty well under control. You know, I mean, there's a difference being influenced and possessed. Okay, here's one to know. Bizarre or violently irrational behavior. Bizarre and irrational behavior, especially in opposition to the Gospels and Christianity. And talk about anything else. Cannot talk about the Gospel in a civil way. Cannot talk about Christians and Christian in a civil way. It's an attack. It's a... can't be a good discussion, and they'll become really bizarre or violently attacking Christians. Okay, well, they got it. What's wrong with them? They're in a different kingdom, and that kingdom has a foothold on them. And so you need to be aware. But the thing is, what do you do? Well, you just say, well, okay, we won't talk about this. But I know where this person's coming from. Well, somebody tell you, well, Jesus wants them. Well, Jesus wants to bring somebody else. Okay, I'm going to talk to this. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's one thing, be it something bizarre and violent, irrational behavior in opposition, especially the opposition of the gospel of the Christians. Okay, here's another one right here. Number two, malicious slander, lying, and deception. Have you ever watched, I'm not going to say anything, but you watch TV or how can they say that it didn't happen? It didn't happen. Demonically influenced. Doesn't make any difference if it happened or not. See, there's a deception that's, you know, and in them, and a lying that's, it caused the lie Satan's natural language. See? So don't, you're, how can those people, well, we know exactly how they can sin. They don't even have any, they don't even feel bad about it or what they said. They're not. It's demonically influenced. And so we know, okay, this isn't just people, forgot something or try to get out of a jam. No, these are people have an agenda, and lying is their natural language and deception, because that's what they're doing. And it often is from an evil influence. Okay? Increasing bondage to self-destructive behavior. They go to something that binds them, or they have a self-destructive behavior. Like the demonic in the graveyards, and said he would take stones and just cut himself. People talking about teenagers cutting themselves. I said, listen, that's not just a bad day. That's a bad influence, okay? Because that's what the demonic, he would cut himself and wail, but cut himself among the tombs. See, it's a bondage, and it is a destructive behavior. Because Satan is self-destructive. Whoever he's possessing influence, if they're destroyed, he's good with that. He's good with that. And he'll use people as long as he can. And then another one, number four here, is a stubborn advocacy for false doctrine. Or like cults. I mean, we'll just say a false doctrine and just hold on it to the end. It may not even seem like a big thing, and you can't talk to them, and they hold on to that false doctrine because it's an evil influence trying to influence people in a demonic way. So, you can't talk to these people. You can't talk to these people. And we need to understand that, but you make people aware of these people. Hey, listen, no, there's something there. The sudden and unexplained onslaughts of emotion. Just going, well, and then somebody just breaks down, such as fear, hatred, depression, anxiety, violent anger, etc. Which, and so when you see, again, a violent, onslaught, sudden in these emotions, okay, it tells you something else is going on. That person didn't just something else is going on and causing those influences. And it will be totally contrary to the will of God and inappropriate for the situation. Inappropriate for the situation. It's like, came in here and Woods moved the front roller chairs, and I would just scream and holler and throw something at him. How dare you? Well, that's totally inappropriate for that situation. Totally. He said, hey, what's going on with chairs? We can talk about it. But an emotion just furious, and attack somebody, it's totally inappropriate for what is actually happening. That has a demonic influence to it. It's something that sets off that evil one. Now again, there's the influence and the possession. There's two different things going on here. Somebody's possessed, they're done, okay. They're just done. Influence, people can come out of that. Now, and the other thing I want to bring up here is sometimes it's just simply when we have a deep spiritual uneasiness, which we might call just discernment. You ever talk discernment? It's just, we had somebody, it was a while back, came in here anyway, I don't want to say too much. He came in here, but I had like five people. By the end of the service, I had five people come in, something wrong. They didn't talk to each other, but they came in, something wrong. I said, well, all right. I mean, it seemed all right for me. I just, And so, but I paid attention because what these other people said. I mean, you don't just jump up, hey, we got a bad feeling, out of here. So, but I was aware and watched it. And then the thing started to progress, and he just was a bad influence, I mean, we never had any real issues with him or anything, but it turned out he had some issues going on. Now, okay, so here we are. So now that I've absolutely scared you flat to death, we get total fear. See, believers are to resist the attacks of the devil and to stand fearlessly up to him. 1 Peter 5:9 says this, resist him firm in your faith. Resist him firm in your faith. In James it says, resist him, he'll flee from you. You know, flee from you. And knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So he's attacking the church throughout the world. Okay. Christians are not to fear the devil, but don't underestimate him. And like I said, the guy that ran to me, and I literally do, I remember that. I said, you say he can't touch me. You know, he couldn't. You know, but I wasn't afraid of that. But at the same time, we can't rely on our own strength because our personal self is no match for him. He's smarter. He's more powerful, like in and of himself. But so what we do is we proclaim the name of Jesus. You know, that's total neutralizes. We're Jesus' property. He can't touch us. He can't touch us. And so we declare the name of Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of him or anything. Now, with all this, now here's a caution to this. The world is full of sin and evil. Okay, the world's full of sin and evil that is not demonically caused. Okay, so you knew somebody sinned it. Oh, the devil did it, and I got a cold. The devil gave it to me, and you weren't nice to me. The devil did it to you. You know, I mean, that's not. There's a lot of evil that people are just evil. The reason we highlight the thing about the devil is because all of a sudden, if it's him, you got to treat it a little different. You got to get rid of the person. You can't counsel the devil. I bring this person into counsel. Well, they're influenced by the devil. You can't counsel them. You have to get rid of that entity, okay? So that's the thing. There's a lot of evil. I'm not going to smile, but your children are not demon-possessed. And this has happened more than once. I just think Johnny's got a demon. You can't do nothing with it. I mean, I've had that. I said, Johnny didn't have a demon. Yes, he does. You can't tell him. He's five. What it don't? Well, I tried to explain to him. Explain to what? He can't reason anything. You just tell him. What am I to do? And then in all my glory, I will say, and I always get in trouble for this, I say, what little Johnny needs is a board of education to the seat of higher learning and power. And Johnny will lose his demons because he's more afraid of you, than anything else. And I tell you what, and by the way, it's biblical. And I always get notes and letters on this. I just promise you, that's what God said. But they're not little demons. They just need some discipline, okay? A little different. Some of the passions of the flesh are going on. I want that, give it to me now. You know, that's all that's going on with them. Okay, now, so as we have it here, Satan is a defeated foe. I mean, it goes all through the scripture. Satan is defeated. It's not like Jesus is going to come back and defeat Satan. No, he's defeated already. He's done. He's absolutely done. And then it goes on and says here, 1 Peter 5:10, and so God recognized that Satan will take on his Satan will attack us, and we're to resist him. And so there may be some, times where it's, painful. But it tells us, 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you have suffered a little while. Okay, after. Now, we're still talking about Satan. We're standing up. We've kind of got a one-on-one. Said, after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. See, and this is where I have a problem where a lot of these preachers are, you can defeat the devil, stand up to him, and you can rebuke him, and it does say rebuke the devil, and he'll flee from you. But what it says here, like, okay, there's an attack, and it said the God of all grace himself. God does it. God, that's the reason that Satan didn't have any part. Oh, Lord Jesus, this God, you need to call you into this, do that. Then God himself rebuked Satan. That's the reason he doesn't have any power. That's the reason he doesn't have any power in the church. God himself. And now read that, because they're making a point. God himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, we may suffer a little while, but we see God himself. And when he says these words, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us, these four verbs emphatically promise divine aid. God is the God of all grace, the source of all sufficiency, to give us strength in every attack to us by the evil one. God will intervene for us for good. You see what I'm saying here? And so we understand, we walk in that confidence. I mean, it is a bad world. We're being attacked. But he has given us the strength and the capacity to walk through it, depending on him. Depending on him. Now, so our knowledge of God's truth and power gives us the ability to confidently stand strong in casting all our cares upon God. But God, no, you just cast all the cares upon God, and he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. And knowing, now listen to this, and knowing, we cast our cares on God, standing strong, and knowing that in God's perfect timing, he will exalt us. Now look at that. Perfect timing, exalt. I mean, we're not even here anymore. Perfect time. Exalt us. But there's to stand strong in the attack, because he himself, and then at the proper time, he exalts. So we stand with, because, and who knows the proper time? God knows the proper time. We just stand with him, and at that special time, then he exalts us. That means, and then he whips the devil. No, the devil's been whipped. No, he exalts us. He exalts us. So I won't go over these verses right here. This is 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. Now, these are the verses that introduce this whole section. Okay, they actually introduce this. And so they're seeing us holding this, and we don't have to fear the devil. But look at 1 Peter 5, 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for us. God, you don't care. No, I care. He says, I care because he cares for us. Now, again, we can, humility, what does humility mean? But here's my definition for humility, okay? It's a dependent attitude towards God. That's humble, okay? That's humble. And so if I put this way, humility is, I can't, God can. That's humility. I can't, God can. That's all it is, right there. See? So I'm going to be humble to Linda. I can't, she can't. That's probably true, but that's not humility. That's because I just don't want to deal with it. you say, but to God, that's humble. I can't, but you can. So that's humility, and God says, walk in humility. Okay, God, I can't do this. You do something. Now, then the believer's attitude must be one of assurance that God's hand remains in control of all events. Okay, how many think, I just want God to take care of this. I'm sure he doesn't even know what's going on. I can't get out of this, Lord. No, he knows it. He just wants us to humble himself. I can't, you can. All right? So we must have an attitude of assurance of God's hand that is in control of all events. Looking to the mighty hand of God almost always refers to divine deliverance. So that's what this verse is saying. I can't, you can't, and I'm looking for divine deliverance. Divine deliverance means God does it. See, we think divine deliverance means I got to figure this out and help God out and do this. That's not divine deliverance. Divine deliverance is like, no, I know God's going to handle this. God's going to handle this. And you've heard this before. It said, a drowning man must submit to the one who comes to his aid. If he struggles in his own strength to try and save himself, he will hinder the best efforts of the one who's trying to rescue him. He's pulling down, he's fighting, and they both drowned. Humility. I can't, you can. When we wait for the divine deliverance, we will not only be rescued, But we will be exalted. Look at that word. Circle it. We will, oh, if I just get through. No, you're going to be exalted. You're not going to get through this. You're going to be exalted. Yet you'll be exalted by God at the divinely right moment. The proper time is God moves his mighty hands. So see where we are? We're in a good position. We're in a good position. Therefore, we cast all our anxieties, cares, concerns, and everything that we're worried about on God, because we know he cares. You see this whole picture? It's like, oh gosh, I got this, because he cares. He's going to move. He's going to do it. I'm going to resist him. Resist the evil one. Again, this is true in all things, but we're talking specifically about the devil. It says, don't fret. God who cares has dominion, reign, power over all forever. Therefore, we declare. Now, everything I just said, this last verse is fascinating, if you think about it. Fascinating. 1 Peter 5:11. This is how it works. And then Peter closes with this. To him be dominion forever and ever. See, I can. You can't. Forever and ever. Be dominion to you. And that's what God's saying. I have dominion. Work with me. Work with me. And I think that's an honest, you know, a word. God is saying, work with me. Because he has dominion. And the ones that are running around here like, you know, rats, you know, trying to escape off a ship is us. Now, he has dominion. And so we're walking steady with him. We're not fretful. We know in the proper time we will be exalted. We know he's going to take care of us now. We cast all our cares upon him. Because he cares for us. That's what he's telling us. And then he goes here. And we end up. And how do you get there? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. Amen? Hallelujah. It is so simple, you know, in the sense of what? This is what God said. But the deep within us to transform in us to give it to God. And if we don't, we're... Haven't we all fought in all this nonsense our whole life? Just one thing after another. And God, no, I got this. Look at what I'm doing. Walk with me. Look at what I'm doing. Walk with me. All right. The worst. Can you think of anything worse in the world than the devil going nose to nose? I got you. It's like, oh, gosh, it ain't good. That'd be the worst, you know, because anything happened. God said, no, resist him. I got him. He's defeated. Just call in the name of Jesus. That's it. He's making it real simple. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your word. Lord, I mean, it's, you know, I think about this. It's like this is what is already happening to the entire world. It's already happening. But what you've done, Lord, is you've explained to us what is happening and how we can deal with it and how we can stand strong with our eyes upon you. Lord, thank you for revealing that to us. Thank you for telling us so that we can understand what's happening, so that we can stand strong with you, with our eyes wide open, because at the proper time, you will exalt us. In the name of Jesus.